The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Late last night, the Jaguars hired Doug Peterson to be their next head coach. The former Eagles head coach won Super Bowl 52 with Philly. The hiring comes 49 days after the team fired Urban Meyer and 35 days after Peterson first interviewed with the Jags. This is the fifth official coaching hire in the NFL, and so far zero of them are minorities. Adam Schefter reported the Vikings intend to hire Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell after the Super Bowl, which would be the sixth non-minority hire. That leaves three teams still looking for head coaches. That would be the Texans, Saints, and Dolphins. We got quite a crew right now. It's always the right time when Bomani Jones is here. Bo, so good to see you. It's been a minute. And of course, Swagoo, Marcus Spears here with us as well. Gentlemen, I'll start with you, Bo. Tell me this. What's the significance of the coaching hires thus far?
Well, you know, you always have to be careful because when you go for each individual hire, you can always come up with a reason. Like, it's hard to argue with we are one of the worst teams in the league and we got an actual real-life Super Bowl winning coach who's actually willing to take our job, right? So you're not going to be able to say that the Jaguars wouldn't have a point in hiring Doug Peterson. But the problem, of course, on this is always in the aggregate. And you're just not going to be able to convince me over and over and over and over again that there's not a black or brown man who is capable of doing any of these jobs. And as this goes, I think the thing that people have to remember, we talk bad about the Rooney Rule, but when it was first implemented, it did work. We saw the numbers of hires change, and we saw it happen immediately because they were scared to death that Johnny Cochran was going to take them to court. They're not really that scared about that anymore. That's why this Flores thing is so big, because the only way it's ever going to happen, apparently, is somebody taking them to court, because the commissioner seems to actually care about this issue. There's been loud noise about it every offseason, and the owners still keep coming back and doing the same damn thing that they've done before.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Swagoo.
To your point, Bo, it's going to have to be legislated, man. Like, it's not a situation anymore. This is beyond the league office. Like, and so the important point here is that these guys are going to hire who they want to until they are either pressed or put in a bad situation for not doing so. And to Bo's first point, like, that's it. Statistics. We ain't talking about something we emotional about statistically. Like, you look at 116 hires, and there's been a handful of black head coaches hired in this league. And every time this cycle comes around, because now I've been on this roller coaster for 3 years now. Every time this cycle comes around, what the NFL owners tell us is we have one or two black men that are capable of leading an organization out of 32. Potentially, it'll only be one this year. So to your point, Bo, this had to become bigger than just the NFL talking to the NFL. And ultimately, that's what it really boils down to, is like, who's going to check the checker, right? Once it gets to the owners, the buck stops there with whatever transpires in the NFL. So I love the point that Bo just made, and it's going to have to be legislated. It's going to have to go beyond the parameters of just football and the NFL league. It's going to have to put these owners out in front. That's the only way, and force them to give an explanation of why they think the hiring practices have materialized how they are right now.
Listen, man, I trust both of y'all. I trust both of y'all to elaborate on what I'm about to say. So I'm going to say it because I got enough time to talk, obviously, because I do this show for 2 hours and y'all are on here for a couple of segments. So I'm going to defer to y'all. I'm going to say what I have to say, and then I want y'all to take it and run with it, okay, for as much time as we have for this segment. Do y'all know that the National Football League has a diversity committee? Y'all are aware of that, correct? Do you know that John Mara, the owner for the New York Giants, is on that committee? Ladies and gentlemen, the owner for the New York Giants, who is on the Diversity and Inclusion Committee, obviously its objective is to address diversity. The New York Giants are the lone NFL franchise that has not hired a black coach ever in its 97-year history. And that man is on the Diversity Committee. Now, I want to throw out on Rooney there is I want to throw out Rooney as well for the Pittsburgh Steelers because his father and what he's meant to this game and what he's done for the game. I understand you have Mike Tomlin as your coach, and I get that part. But all of this is happening on their watch. Mm-hmm. So now let's start naming names. Let's start attaching faces to these names. They're on the diversity committee. One dude, your father is responsible for the Rooney Rule being instituted because the issue was so strong and so paramount to him that he pushed for a league mandate in order to address these concerns. What are you doing about it other than leaning on Mike Tomlin being your head coach? What kind of pressure are you applying to your contemporaries because you roll with them? They're your boys now. And if you're John Mara, you own the New York Giants. You're on a diversity committee, and you've never had a black coach ever, ever. The lone franchise of the National Football League that has never had the black head coach. I just wanted to say that, guys. Floor is yours. Yeah.
Well, also, Stephen A., correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the first game quarterback by a black quarterback for the New York Giants was Geno Smith
when
they benched Eli Manning. And it went so bad, they gave Eli Manning his job for two more years. Now, the thing that for the owners and what this comes down to is, what is the incentive for them to care, right? Like, what is the reason for them to do something? And the answer should be obvious, because maybe you could hire a good coach. The Giants, if we've learned anything else from them, they haven't been really good at hiring coaches post-Parcells. I guess you could say Coughlin, of course, with the two Super Bowls. But outside of that, they've had to fire a coach after 2 years, I think three times in a row. The teams are the ones that would be helped by doing this. They are the ones that would improve because they are the ones that would be looking at more talent, right? Giving yourself a better chance at making your team good. They would rather be sorry than be right. And it's because fundamentally people just have to come to terms with the fact a lot of people just think black people aren't that smart and don't think that we're in a position or capable of leading. So what they do like to do is hire the sons of former coaches. What's wild about it is if you go look at it, those dudes aren't even necessarily good at doing the job, but they don't stop. They just keep trying at that one. They don't give black people and brown people even a chance at this because you have to shake against the priors that people have. So who's going to be on the diversity committee? It's going to be invariably one of these people that has a team that probably isn't doing a good enough job. They would have to go hire a new owner to be the one to do this, but it's hard to believe that they're going to go get an owner that can make this better.
That's right. Swaggo, last word.
What are we talking? Like, yeah, I love the fact that I got my big OG Bo on here and Stephen A. my big bro. Y'all know damn well all this about PR. Stephen A., when you said Merrill was on the diversity committee, we know that this is about public relations and how it looks. All of these slogans that we've seen in the NFL since George Floyd, PR. How else can you spell it out? Are you actually, because here's my issue with it, right? Because they have black GMs. You know what? Black GMs ain't on TV every Sunday. That's not the look of their NFL. They want the look of their NFL to correlate with how they look. And that's really what it boils down to. Because if you mad at us for talking about it, what other conclusion can you draw? What other conclusion can you draw in a game where 75% of the men that's playing are black or brown, in a game where black and brown men have taken this game to another level, also by pressing them to move forward in social and racial justice throughout the history of the league? And we sit here in 22, and three black men are on ESPN having a conversation about why there are no black coaches in the NFL. All of these things that lead up to this conversation that we having, stop trying to save face, owners. Come out and talk about why there are no black coaches. Because we tired of talking about it.
We tired of talking.
Yes.
We tired of talking about it. Absolutely.
Yeah, there needs to be more transparency. Bo, it's always good to see you. Always dropping gems, educating us. Come back again soon. I just want to wrap this by saying, obviously, I'm a Giants fan, so I'm aware of their history. But there's also six other NFL teams that have never hired a black coach. And the Giants, were the last team to start a black quarterback as well. Bo, we'll talk to you soon.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
You know what's fun? This, Stephen A. The Dubs are back. Here comes the Warriors. 8 straight wins for them. And then this, 23 points from Klay Thompson, including 7 threes in a period of 9 minutes where he scored 17. Then to the Suns, who lost yesterday to the Hawks, ending their 11-game winning streak. Don't worry, though. They still have a 2-game lead on the Warriors for first in the West and 2 All-Stars in Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Big perk. Back here with us. Perk, tell me this, sir. Are you more confident in the Warriors or the Suns out West?
Whew, Molly, this a hard one. You know what? You can't go wrong with either one. I think this is going to be the Western Conference Finals matchup. But I'm going to have to give the edge to the Phoenix Suns. They represented the West last year. Those young guys know what it take to go through the highs and lows. And look, we understand Devin Booker could go out there and give you a 50-piece wing dinner, Cajun rub. We understand right now, still today, when it comes to the fourth quarter, Chris Paul is the best closer in the game. We understand that DeAndre Ayton is doing his thing. JaVale McGee is still one of the most athletic bigs in the game today, rim protecting the basket. You got a rough rider in Jay Crowder. But look, this guy, Mikal Bridges, is something special. We knew him from his defense, but with how he's improved offensively and the way that he's taking major steps on that end, I think it makes Phoenix even more dangerous. And defensively, he could guard anybody in the league. I mean, the brother arm so long, he can stand up and put his shoes on in time. That's how long his arms are. But I have to give the slight edge to the Phoenix Suns. No disrespect to the Warriors.
Well, I got to get on you about a couple of things. First of all, I don't understand how you can pick Phoenix considering the amount of coyotes out there. You'll never know when you're running into one of those. That's number one. Number two, I don't understand how you so high on Phoenix when I saw you doing SportsCenter hits out in the sun looking like you were being baked alive for crying out loud. I was worried about you with all them damn SportsCenter hits.
That was a nice live shot.
Listen, that brother was, put some shade over him or something. That brother was out in 110-degree heat doing sports in his. That's what Big Perk was doing. I was worried about his health. So I understand why you so high on Phoenix. And by the way, I'll say this about Mikal Bridges. You're absolutely right about him. I got him right now as my most improved player in the NBA. Mikal Bridges is special. And I'll tell you something else, KP. The Sixers like to talk about the process. You know they did have him and traded away those rights. They could have had Mikal Bridges. Let's not forget that about the Sixers, but we'll get into that another day. I'm still rolling with the Warriors. You see Klay Thompson last night? Did you see him? Did you see him, KP? Did you see 7-for-9 from 3-point range? Did you see him? Did you see him?
He's coming.
He's coming, y'all. Klay Thompson might be back, but he ain't all the way back. He's coming. Whatever you're seeing now is getting better and better and better. We're shooting 35% from the field. Now it's up to 42. We're shooting about 34% from three. Now it's up to nearly 38%. Just climbing, climbing, climbing. Was averaging 11, then 13, then 15. Now it's up to 16.8. Klay's coming. Steph is already there. Kevin Porter knows that. Kevin Porter Jr. knows that better than most. He woke up the babyface assassin the other night. Draymond Green's coming back. Andrew Wiggins is an all-star. He's there averaging 18 a game. Jordan Poole's no scrub. Toscano Anderson and Peyton Jr. and those boys. And oh, by the way, eventually James Wiseman's going to come back to help out Looney. I'm just looking at them. I'm looking at the elite manner in which they defend. I'm also looking at their movement without the basketball. Because you see, a lot of these times you marvel at, don't you know to defend these guys? Don't you know to get in their face? And then all of a sudden, you see the picks, you see the screens, you see the movement of the basketball, the selflessness. And I'm saying, this team is special. I'm not taking anything away from Phoenix. I agree with you, KP. It'll come down to Phoenix and the Warriors. I'm just saying right now, to me, I'm giving the edge to the Warriors. I think the Warriors are right where they want to be.
And you know what? I'm not even mad at you. I think that series will go seven games. But look, here's the thing. Phoenix is one of those teams, the only few teams that are disciplined. So they practice their habits in the regular season so that it carries on to the postseason. So that's why when you see all that movement with the Golden State Warriors, see the Phoenix Suns, they prepare themselves for that type of stuff. They tied on the string defensively. But let me tell you this, Stephen A. You screaming about Wiseman, but the Golden State Warriors got a decision to make. Because the way that brother Kuminga been playing over there, way that he's been a lob threat at the basket, when Wiseman get back, he's going to have to earn those minutes because right now you cannot just sit Kuminga down. Kuminga, that kid is special. So you have no real art debate out of me with this.
Yeah.
It could go either way.
Well, we got to move on to the next subject. And by the way, you were wrong Christmas Day. I told you that Christmas Day, but we'll get into that another time.
He wrong about Christmas
Day? I picked the Warriors over Phoenix. He picked Phoenix.
Oh, a dead clock right twice a day.
That was 2 months ago.
You want to take your victory lap over your Christmas pick? Fix your ice, 2 Chainz. Perk, I'm talking to you. All right, let's go to the East, where the situation between Ben Simmons and the Sixers is still at a stalemate, and we are less than a week away from the trade deadline. Our own Ramona Shelbourne reporting that neither team thought the situation would last this long or would cost this much, but many still believe this relationship is unsalvageable. Stephen A., are the Sixers making a mistake not trading Ben Simmons?
I think they made a mistake not trading him this summer. They should have done that. If anybody wants to argue with me about trading him now, okay, I'll stand down because obviously you got to make sure you get the right deal at this particular moment in time. They should have moved him, though. He shouldn't still be a member of this team. And the fact that nothing has happened with Joel Embiid having an MVP season, this brother might win MVP. He has been nothing short of spectacular. You are wasting away his season. Because let me tell you something. Here's where it really becomes egregious. The one thing we know, KP, about Joel Embiid is that you cannot rely on him staying healthy. It's always a concern. Every time he's out there, you're wondering when he's going to get hurt. Durability is an issue. It's the only issue with him, but it's a huge, huge issue. So while you have him playing at this level, you need to prioritize maximizing everything that he brings to the table. Now, one day you hear Daryl Morey's being held back by ownership. Another minute you hear that's not the case. Ownership has deferred to Daryl Morey, and Daryl Morey is determined to make a splash with this. Here's the bottom line. No matter what equation you look at, Daryl Morey's in the middle of it. You're a veteran executive who we all respect, but Daryl Morey has no championship on his resume. And the fact of the matter is, with Joel Embiid playing the way he's playing, you could have it. So you got to do something with Ben Simmons, because you can't stand pat and leave Joel Embiid hanging like this. That's my position.
What you mean hanging? What you mean hanging?
I think
they're good enough to make it out of the Eastern Conference. Eastern Conference has been looking real. They've been looking real suspect. When I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, they've been looking suspect. We don't know what the hell is going on with the Brooklyn Nets right now. And when it comes down to Joel Embiid, right now, when you talk about skills on the offensive end, it's Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid, and then it's everybody else for us getting buckets. But here's why, if I'm Daryl Morey, I don't rush to trade Ben Simmons. It is not on Daryl Morey and the Philadelphia 76ers to take less for Ben Simmons because of his lack of production last year in the postseason. Remember this, Doc Rivers caught a lot of heat for not benching Ben Simmons. And some would say that the Philadelphia 76ers would have beat the Atlanta Hawks if Doc would have bitched Ben Simmons and rolled with Tyrese Maxey, by the way, who slipped all the way in the draft. Shout out to those dummies out there that passed up on him, because the guy's a flat-out stud. So when I look at the team that they have, when I look at the Seth Curry, when I look at Tobias Harris, when he actually want to show up and show up to work and show the world why he's getting top dollar, when I look at a young stud like Tyrese Maxey, and I look at their bench, they don't have a lot of household names, but they have some hoopers. And so what I'm looking at what Philly is doing and how they're playing, Stephen A., they're super motivated. And when you have a team that's motivated and coming together the way that they are right now, that's a dangerous team to face. So with the East being wide open, and right now Joel Embiid arguably being the best player in the Eastern Conference today, I would stand pat if I was Philly. I would tell Ben Simmons, stay at your hotel room or your mansion or wherever you at and keep a cool booty, because we're not going to trade you and get back less.
Listen, let me tell you something. I think you misconstrue what I say when I bring a situation like this up often. So let me crystallize it for you in a fashion that you will completely embrace. There's a sucker born every minute. Find who the hell that is and get a deal if you Daryl Morey. I am not saying take less. I'm saying you Daryl Morey. Mm. Do you shoot jump shots? No. Do you dunk? No. Do you defend? No. Do you play at all? No. Do you coach? No. Your job is to wheel and deal to give the coach and the players the best chance to win. Daryl Morey, find a way. And here's another reason why I say this, KP. Elton Brand was doing a hell of a job. I love Daryl Morey. Love him to death. You understand? So love him and his family. I'm telling you this right now. I think Daryl Morey could be president of basketball operations, 90% of the teams in the league. I didn't think Philadelphia needed him. Elton Brand was there doing a damn good job. What the hell you bring him in there for? Because he's Daryl Morey. So if you Daryl Morey and you brought up in there and a star like Ben Simmons comes to you last year in June, in July, and says, yo, I don't want to be here. What the hell you hold on to him for all of this time? You got to get something done. This team is not, I want to be repeat, they ain't coming out of the East, bro. They ain't coming out of the East like this. It's not happening. I don't give a damn what anybody says. And I love Maxey and Thibault and Seth Curry and Tobias Harris and all of them brothers. They're not coming out of the East without a deal for Ben Simmons. It's not happening.
Well, listen. Let me ask you this, Stephen A. Sure. Daryl Morey has been known to be one of the most aggressive GMs in the game today, right? We know he's not afraid to pull the trigger. His Correct. History shows it when he was with the Rockets. Matter of fact, he pulled off a trade and got James Harden, and OKC took Kevin Martin, okay? So, I mean, he's known for pulling off and winning deals. Here's the thing. If you trade Ben Simmons, what's out there? What's out there? What's out there that you're going to trade Ben Simmons besides a Dame Dollar who has already...
Did we know that Kevin Martin was... did we know that James Harden was out there for a Kevin Martin? We never dreamed that would happen, but it happened. You find ways to get deals done. Get a third team, fourth team. I'm not getting specific. I'm simply saying you, Daryl Morey, you got to get a damn deal done. That's what I'm saying. I understand who's out there. That's a question. It's legitimate. It could be C.J. McCollum. It could be Buddy Hield and the crew. It could be anything. I understand that. I'm saying you got to get something done. You can't stand pat. You can't stand pat and let the season waste Joel Embiid season. Neither can I.
Why
you acting like you're scared somebody?
Again.
You're not scared me.
Yeah, I can't. I can't wait to see you in person again. I'm telling you.
All right, gentlemen. Let's leave it there.
This is where Sandy knows I'm right.
No. That's not
Santa
the way
Perk.
I'm saying
Santa
that.
Perk. Santa Perk. He just gave me the present. You're right, Stephen A. We going to talk about it.
Oh, my
right.
gosh.
That's what
oh
he said.
Oh, my gosh. Your presence is a gift, Stephen A.
Black,
it really
Black Widow,
is.
I know. I know
every
Black
day
Widow.
For me, your presence really is a gift. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. Quick digs, vamos! So, and we got two Tigers here right now. Brian Kelly went viral over the weekend when recruit Danny Lewis posted a TikTok dancing with his new LSU coach. Then Wednesday, a national signing day, Lewis chose to go to Alabama, pulling the okey-doke over LSU. RC, you bleed purple and gold. You are a Tiger. How you feeling about coach right now?
That hurt my feelings. You know what? Nick Saban ain't dancing on TikToks and doing this joint right here. You know what I mean? So at least if we gonna dance on TikTok, if we ain't even gonna gritty or we ain't gonna show we got some style, we gotta get the recruit, man. And so for coach to do that, did we lose the recruit anyway? All we did was get his numbers up. And it feels like we've been doing that for Alabama a long time. Hopefully he'll do better when the season comes along though.
The moral of the story is dancing ain't gonna get it. It ain't gonna get it, man. And listen, this right here, I'm gonna be real 100. This was cringe as hell. I was like, this is horrible. This is terrible,
nice.
Man. I love the new facilities that we have at LSU. They got that room that they in is phenomenal. But don't do that no more, Brian Kelly. Don't do that no more, man. It's been a lot of
What was the joy right there?
Oh, see, it's been hard defending him out here, man.
This is where I show my age. This is where I show my age because I'm gonna show you where I'm gonna tell you where he got it from. He got it from Batman. From Batman in the 70s. Man, when he was doing that dance. Hilarious. You know what I mean? He got it from back in the day, okay?
That's what he did.
But here's what I will say. I'm going to give Brian Kelly an A for effort. I mean, I can't imagine Nick Saban and others doing so. I get all that. But in the same breath, here's the deal. I'm going to give him an A for effort. Where I'm going to knock him is that you didn't seal the deal. The brother left and went down.
Now,
if the brother had signed on the dotted line and he said, Coach, you know, do this TikTok for me. It ain't bad showing you got some personality. Maybe I don't mind because I watched Ted Lasso, which is hilarious. You know what I'm saying? And I see some of his dances and stuff like
Ted
that.
Ted Lasso started out dancing like this.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what it is. But the bottom line is, Molly.
Yeah.
Molly, this is, and Stephen A and RC gonna relate to this. This is where you spend like an hour and a half club dancing with the girl, and she walk out with another dude.
I know.
And she leaves.
Exactly. You know what? Yeah, exactly. He didn't go home with who brought
him. That's pretty bad, man. You standing in the back of the club
looking at her walk out doing this.
Yeah, you thought she was leaving with you. You thought she was leaving with you. You're like, no.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, where's my ride? I thought, yeah, okay. But I'm not going to kill him, guys, even though there was a lack of rhythm. I like it. He's having fun. All right.
Got to get the recruit.
Okay, another year, gentlemen. We'll keep it rolling. Another one and done exit for the Dallas Cowboys. And a happy Stephen A. Smith. The Cowboys look much improved this past season compared to 2021, especially on the defensive side. A lot of that credited to their new defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn. Jerry's team lucky to keep him when he decided to return after interviewing some head coaching positions on other teams. And there may have been an incentive. Here's Jerry on Quinn.
All of us wanted Dan to stay. That was a key to our continuity here. Every one of those three coaches have said they'd love to be the head coach of the Cowboys. ever won. And so my point is that, in my mind, that has a lot of logic as to why they might not take a job now rather than wait and see how the cards go in future. He's certainly qualified. He's very qualified. Yes, I would consider. If I didn't have a coach, I would have been interviewing him for coach. Mike knows that someday somebody will be coach of the Cowboys other than him.
Okay, I'm going to start with the former Cowboy here. Marcus, are the where is he?
He's disgusted. He's disgusted. Go ahead, Swaggo.
Marcus, you're in Vegas. You're supposed to be having a good time.
He was until you brought up this subject. Go ahead.
All right, tell me this. Cowboys taking the right position on coaching here. What does Marcus Spears want? Tell me.
No, they not, Molly. And I said this. Listen, I have said that if you were going to lose Dan Quinn, promote him to head coach. All right? To me, that's clear and cut and dry. That is move Mike McCarthy out the way and promote Dan Quinn. But how in the hell does Jerry think this is best for the Dallas Cowboys? To have two coaches in the same facility after making a statement like that. So Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn, let me give you a picture. Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn walking down the hall past each other on their way to a position meet. And you got to work with this dude for the rest of the season. And you side-eyeing saying, Jerry want me more than you. That's what Dan Quinn going to look at Mike McCarthy like. And Mike McCarthy going to look at Dan Quinn like, no, he don't, because I'm the head coach. And then Dan Quinn going to say, but you remember what he said about your job, and we would have tried to interview you if you wasn't here. The problem with this is the problem that Stephen A. has sinked his claws into, and which makes him right every single year when we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. The dysfunction, because the owner does not stop talking. He won't stop talking, and how in the hell do you expect Mike McCarthy to do a good job as the head coach when in the building you have a guy that you would prefer over him? I'm the RC, you know I get emotional. And we in Vegas, and I got to save myself for that yak on the rocks. So I'm not going to lose it all right now. I'm going to let you and Stephen A. take this. But this is the worst possible thing you can do as the owner of a football team, is have your coach looking over his shoulder with a guy in the same facility.
That's right. Go ahead, RC.
I was there when – one second.
Listen.
I was there – RC, I was there when Wade Phillips had to look over his shoulder to Jason Garrett. Mm-hmm. We see how that worked out. I just wanted to put that point in, though.
There we go.
Yeah, you know, like, when you look at this situation, Jerry Jones got a girlfriend and a wife on the side right now in his coaching staff. That's what's going on with Jerry Jones right now.
Go ahead.
Like, you know what, Mike McCarthy, you still in the building, but I'm gonna move the other person in as well. Like, he said it was weird to me when he said once Dan Quinn came back that he's gonna be on our coaching staff for years to come, because my thought was, well, how can he be there for years to come? This is a guy that's a former head coach, a dude that's been great as the defensive coordinator, already interviewing for head coaching jobs. And I was like, he sounds really confident that Dan Quinn is going to be around. And now it makes sense. There was some conversation that had to go on that said, you know what, Dan, we're going to do one of those college things where you're coaching waiting, which is also weird, right? When we're thinking about the Brian Flores situation now. So you already know that Dan Quinn's the next coach? Like, that's already something you guys have discussed?
That's already a violation of the Rooney Rule. It's already a violation.
You see what I'm saying? Exactly. And so we're in a position where Jerry Jones has done simultaneously, he spent all the money he could possibly spend to win a championship, and he's made decisions that are contrary to that. All of the decisions he makes leads, like Marcus says with Stephen A., it leads you to think that what will happen, that anything can go wrong, will go wrong in Dallas. Now you have a coach who everybody is questioning in Mike McCarthy, and you basically publicly say, if Mike McCarthy doesn't do the things that he needs to do this year, he's out, and Dan Quinn is our coach. We thought he had to worry about Sean Payton. No, he got to look over his own shoulder in the meeting room, because he's going to be out as soon as Dan Quinn was ready to take hold of that team.
Swaggoo, I'm going to do you a favor, my brother. I'm not going to even clown the Cowboys this morning. I'm going to be serious, because
I saw some tweet that Jordan Lewis threw out there about me the other day. You know, came at me, all of this other stuff. Because he's in his feelings. Because obviously, you know, I'm an a-hole or whatever because of how I talk about the Cowboys. Let me be very, very clear. Number one, I have no issue with the Cowboys. It's with their fans. I like to troll Cowboy fans. Yep. They like to troll me. It's all in fun, my brother. I'm just having fun. I'm the guy that went down to Dallas. First take went down to Dallas, and I went into enemy territory. And Cowboy fans who were trolling me at every turn was also taking pictures with me and going back and forth because that's what fans do. It's all in fun. Don't be too serious about it. But if you want to get serious about it, my brother, let's do that. See what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about? This kind of stuff right here that Jerry's doing, ain't that what he did with Jason Garrett? Ain't that what people alluded to as getting in the way, as serving as an impediment to the success of the Dallas Cowboys year after year after year? It clearly isn't talent. It isn't their ability to accumulate talent. I mean, when you look at Dak Prescott, you look at Ezekiel Elliott, we're looking at a Tony Pollard, we're looking at an Amari Cooper, we're looking at a Michael Gallup, we're looking at a C.D. Lamb. You see guys like Schultz and Wilson coming out, doing their thing on the defensive side of the ball. You drafted Micah Parsons. We know what a stud this brother is. He ain't Lawrence Taylor, but they actually mentioned Lawrence Taylor when they talked about him to speak to his level of greatness, okay? We know what DeMarcus Lawrence brings to the table. He got attitude with me when I was upset about Jerry being conspicuously quiet and absent when the whole social justice issue is coming around. There's a time to play, and there's a time to be serious. When I'm trolling Cowboy fans, I'm playing. When I'm talking about issues, I'm dead serious. This is an issue. And when we look at the Dallas Cowboys, I have profound respect. How can you not respect Jerry Jones? Jerry Jones is a marketing genius and a very, very likable man. I happen to like Jerry Jones a great, great deal. He's been on First Take before, for crying out loud. Stephen Jones, I like him too. I met Jerry Jones' wife, who seems to be such a marvelous, wonderful woman. You understand what I'm saying? Again, you're playing around in certain situations. You're being serious. But in the end, what it comes down to is that when we're talking about winning or lack thereof, when we talk about things from an organizational perspective, we see dysfunction. And even with Jerry, like Marcus says, not shutting your mouth, respectfully, Jerry Jones, here's why. Because by opening your mouth and saying what you said, you've now added fodder and might have gotten in the way of Quinn ultimately becoming your head coach, at least without being devoid of noise. Because if you hire that man, we're going to go back to that sound. And we're going to say, you already hired him, so nobody black ever had an opportunity. These are the kind of things that get in the Cowboys' way, and I'm not playing. Is that respectful enough, fellas?
Yes, it is. And we got to go to break. I wish we had more time because this is a fun segment. I just got to say one thing, guys. This isn't really even a love triangle, though, when we're talking Quinn, McCarthy, because then there's Sean Payton, too. So it's kind of like a love square. He's got a lot going on. Yes. His situation is getting very complicated and very messy.
Hollywood Squares.
And folks need to
Hollywood
get it Squares. Together.
Remember that show, Hollywood Squares?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's the Cowboys.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Quick takes, let's go. Stephen A., we know the history in Detroit. We know the Rams went all in. Does Stafford need to win for his season to be a success? By win, I mean the Super Bowl.
Oh, hell yes. You know, I mean, you at home and you going up against a dude in just his second year, his first full season as a quarterback with the crew that you've got available to you. You got to close this deal. You can't beat Tom Brady and lose to Joe Burrow. You got to win.
Absolutely. We'll leave it right there because, Stephen A., when we come back, a Cowboy that you actually love, Micah Parsons, with a ridiculous play that you are going to want to see. That is coming up next, Micah Parsons and Tyreek Hill in Vegas. Don't miss it.
I got a lot of love for him.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Marcus Spears, look at this. How about your guy, Micah Parsons, beating out Nick Chubb and Tyreek Hill? I can't. This is unbelievable. Your thoughts on this?
Listen, this is the evolution of the NFL, y'all. And I made a statement early in the year. I was like, Micah Parsons, the best defensive player in football. And T.J. Watt, obviously, probably is going to take that mantle because of the sacks. But this is different. This is a different level of athlete, Stephen A. And I pray that Jerry Jones don't waste having a dude like this on the defensive side of the football, man.
Micah Parsons is special. Regardless of how much I like to troll Cowboys fans, and the Cowboys too to some degree, we all know how supportive I am of Micah Parsons. He's the real deal. But we all know this race was bogus. Tyreek Hill came in last place, y'all. Cheetah. Tyreek Hill. If our producers have it, they probably don't because it's late notice. We remember that play in the divisional playoff game against the Buffalo Bills, the best fourth quarter we've ever seen, when he ran past five Buffalo Bills. Is that the same Tyreek Hill you saw in that race? Tyreek Hill in last place. Can we see the real Tyreek Hill, please? Do we have that? We don't have it. We don't have it. Just go to the archives, Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, Arrowhead Stadium, fourth quarter, that brother.
All right, more serious news.
Come on now.
Swagoo, you're out there in Vegas, so what's for dinner tonight? Because there's a lot of good restaurants. You going steak? What's the game plan?
I'm going sushi tonight, Molly. I don't have anything
sushi
to do tomorrow.
May I make a recommendation?
I haven't had sushi in a minute.
Go to Catch. Inside the Aria.
S.A., I actually saw your boy Tillman Fertitta walking out of Catch the other night.
That's right.
Him and his son Patrick. They told me to tell you hello, by the way.
Molly,
L.A. looking good on you, Molly. I know you be laying back with the mask on and cucumbers over your eyes.
I see the glow. Yeah, you're right. She probably do that. You brought up the cucumbers. But I can't front.
A couple cucumbers.
I put the cucumber on my eyes, too.
Oh, my goodness. He's a way bigger diva than me.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.